Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Yo, Nino here. The summer months are heating up with a ton of exciting sports action. And BetOnline is where you'll find it. From basketball and hockey playoffs to baseball's marquee matchups, including prop bets and futures. Go Padres! BetOnline has the latest odds, news, and information for all your online sports betting needs. Visit the website today or use your mobile device to join and receive 50% off welcome bonus on your first deposit. So before the next tip-off, face-off, or pitch, head on over to BetOnline and start playing today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
And you're eating your soup.
Fresh off of bringing a new human onto the planet, Sal Zizzo joins us again. Welcome back, Sal. First and foremost, congrats on the new addition. That is special. You finally got your boy.
Yeah. Thank you. Appreciate that. Finally got a boy after having three girls. And I do love my three girls, but it is pretty cool to have a boy. I kind of feel a little bit like the family's complete, and I'm done. Done.
And I'm done. And I'm that's done. It. Drop the mic.
Mic drop. There you are. Yeah.
Finito. A shot of testosterone in the house, and we're good. We're moving on.
Yeah, we're good. We're good.
Snip.
Well, we'll forgive Sal if he's walking through this. We do have an exciting one here in Jarrett Stroud. He joins us from Austin, which I think for right now, it's got to be the toast of the league. I mean, it's definitely the most exciting, generating probably the most buzz of a new franchise. Having McConaughey play the bongos or what he's doing down there. I mean, he's definitely jumping into the mix and made a suit, which is pretty spicy. But I think from his journey is actually really interesting. From a New York Red Bull fan to playing for their summer team to jumping into the taking steps here. So let's get him in. Let's get him in the pod. Jared, welcome aboard, buddy.
How you doing, man?
Good. How are you guys?
Sorry about the late start over here.
No, it's all good.
Jared, welcome to my world. I got to wait for these two dipshits to get home from work, do their thing, get freshened up, get all cleaned up. It's like 10 o'clock. It's like, come on, guys. We got like things to do around here, like bed.
Yeah, West Coast, though. West Coast. Like, it's only 7:30 over here.
These West Coast lifers, they're just into their first margarita.
I wish.
Jared, what's up, man? How's everything going? How's the body feeling?
It's good. I mean, it's a bit tired from yesterday, but nah, it feels good. Yesterday was a tough game, but Columbus was decent. The heat out here is crazy, man, compared to New York, but it's good.
Is the humidity a lot worse in Austin?
I feel like New Jersey and New York's kind of bad.
It gets bad, yeah.
Yeah, it gets super hot there. Here, it's just like dumb heat, you know? You're just getting burned all the time.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you get used to it, so, I mean, I don't know. I think New Jersey summer is worse, though.
Yeah.
Jared, Sal, fellow Red Bull alum.
Yeah.
I used to watch you play, man.
Yeah. I was so old. I know, right?
Jeez, I used to watch you play. I probably
was on like the teams that like you grew up like watching, like the glory years with, like, you know, Bradley Wright Phillips, Lloyd Sam, Grella. Yeah. That whole bit, yeah.
Jesse and Danny, yeah.
Jesse, yeah. Were you there with Chris Armas at all?
For a little bit, yeah. For like half of last year. Or, yeah,
awesome guy. Yeah, great guy.
Yeah.
So Jared, you're a Jersey kid, right? You grew up watching Red Bull?
Yeah, I grew up 30 minutes outside the stadium. So, yeah, pretty close. We'd go to all the games. Didn't play on the academy, but played PDL in the summers there. Right. Yeah. I mean,
you're Del Barton, right?
Yeah. Went to Del Barton.
I had a bunch of Del Barton boys at Georgetown with me. You know the McAnellys? Does that name sound familiar to you?
Sounds familiar. But
they were a soccer family, a little bit older, but they were in the mix. They always pumped up Del Barton and that school big time.
Yeah.
Sounds like there was a McAnally in every block in Jersey.
The Irish family, the Smiths.
Yes. McAnally, yeah, it sounds familiar.
Yeah, McAnally.
I think we used to cook sausages at his house.
He owned the Salzitza on the corner.
Yeah.
Guys, McAnally's an Irish name, not the Italian. Unreal. Oh my God. So you grew up following Red Bull, but before you went to Red Bull, you were at Colgate, right?
Yeah, I went to Colgate, small school. I got
are you the most famous alum to ever leave Colgate, ever graduate from Colgate? Who else is from there?
No, probably Rob Stone, the guy from Fox. Yeah.
So we had
Stoner. He pumps the big ones on Colgate, doesn't he?
We had Rob Stone on the podcast. I think it was like our second season or something, or our old one. And he was talking up Colgate, and he's actually talking up Jared quite a bit in that pod as well. You know, repping the pro MLS guy from Colgate. So.
Rob Stone is a ledge.
Yeah,
he's funny, man. He's just always, he FaceTimes me out of the blue. Just, I don't know. He's like commentating on bowling or something. Just
that's great.
Hambone. He's got big hambone calls. I love Rob, man.
Does he keep in touch with you? Does he keep in touch with you?
Yeah. We're in good touch because, I mean, there's not really any other. I mean, there is no other professional players basically from Colgate. Yeah, it's just me.
Okay,
and Rob.
Why did you choose Colgate?
I don't know. I didn't really get recruited by any big schools because I was a small guy. They were
late
really
bloomer.
Really gave me a scholarship, so went there.
Who was the coach at Colgate?
Eric Cronning.
Cronning. I don't know that name. Is he still there?
Yeah, he's still there. One of my younger brothers is there right now, so he's playing.
Is he better than you?
Yeah, hopefully. I think both of my younger brothers might be coming out and training with us a bit, so that'll be fun.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
but that is cool. You got another one where at Duke, is that right?
Yeah. PD goes to Duke, so yeah, he's doing well. They're both doing good, so maybe they'll get a chance.
Okay. Let's see. So they'll come in and potentially get in the mix this summer with you guys in Austin.
I think so. I think it's more for them to just identify some college kids because we've had a couple guys training stuff. Okay. Already. So I think it's just we need bodies, man. We have so many injuries. It's not good.
Yeah. No kidding. That's the name of the game, especially in the heat in Austin, right? Are you seeing like a lot more of heat related injuries in Texas?
I mean, yeah, I think cramping starts earlier for sure, but I don't know. I mean, I think some of them are just unlucky and I don't know. I guess we have an older roster, so maybe that's just part of it. But
yeah,
easy when you talk about old guys on this podcast.
The older end of the roster, Sal.
I will say I haven't missed one practice. Have I? No, only for the birth of my baby boy, which actually I shall say was last Saturday. So got my boy.
Sal.
Thank you.
Congrats, Sal. Wait, let me get. Is his name Sal?
His name is Masi, spelt like Messi but with an A. So hopefully
we're just gonna call him Sal though.
His middle name is Sal. Mossy Sal.
Yeah.
So Jared, tell us a little bit about let's start with Red Bull and let's start with that process because it's kind of wild. We talk about you know, the way that this league is growing up. And now there are actually individuals like yourself that have gone through the entire process from, like, maybe not academy, but you played for the U23s, then you play for Red Bull too, then you move on to the first team and you kind of take the steps there. What was it like to go through that process?
Yeah, it was tough. I mean, not many guys make it off Red Bull 2 and then play MLS minutes and then go on and then do it. So, I mean, it's tough. It's like, especially when there's a lot of first team guys coming down those first years on my first year on USL, always getting bumped out by the first team guys. That was always tough. And it was always frustrating, you know, because you'd have a good season, but your USL contract would be 2 years and they kind of just held on to that. And it's tough, but then, yeah, once I got my first team shot, I don't know, just took chances. I think Red Bull's a really good spot for younger guys to go to, and get minutes for sure. And I think that helped me. And then, yeah, I mean, I feel lucky to come here, and it's been enjoyable to play a different style as well. So it's been all of a good change up. I mean, if I had stayed at Red Bull this year, I don't think, you know, I think it probably would have been good too, but it's been really awesome playing under Josh and getting in a new environment here. So
before we get into Austin, what was it like to play under Walnek? I played against him. Gordo played against him. Sal played against him. We have an understanding of him as a player, but I would love to hear what that was like in that environment.
No, Josh, Wally's great. He's awesome. We still talk. He was a great coach for an attacker too, because he was an attacker himself. So he never put pressure on attackers to score goals and stuff. He just played such an aggressive style that, yeah, he was good. He definitely got heated sometimes.
Similar to Gordo, he was not blessed with athleticism.
But scored some bangers,
Don't blame Jared. I played with Wally. Yeah. I played with him at the Galaxy, a short stint.
Yeah.
Good dude.
He was there. He was with you early on?
No, late.
I mean,
one of his last years. Yeah, he was. Remember when Alexi Lawless was?
No, I meant early on for you. Your first run with the Galaxy.
Yeah, I was. Yeah, my first run. He was towards the end. Yeah, and we're pretty similar in style.
What was Wally like as a player? I'd love to know that.
Who was he like?
Yeah, what was he like? What was he like?
He was quiet. And he was just like, he was just that guy that just kept going, I guess.
Yeah.
And
he played hard. Right, I felt like he was the type of guy that, like, he got knocked over and would still get up. Like you'd keep heading down the field and he would still be chasing you. It was almost like the Terminator, where he just keeps getting up and keeps following you like that. I felt like that was Walnek.
Yeah. He just, yeah, exactly. He was like an Iron Man on a soccer field.
A cheap version of Brian McBride. Is that a good? Is that
there
a good?
There you go. All right. Yeah, poor man's poor Brian McBride. Yeah, yeah, possibly.
Possibly.
I mean, it was full gray hair by 30 years old, which is always amazing.
I used to have battles with Walnek in the reserve league. And I think he and I were maybe the only two people that took it seriously. And we just smashed into each other on Sunday morning at 9 a.m.
They'd have four lone players off with street clothes, going to their second jobs, and you guys would be taking it so serious.
Who were some other names in that setup? Was Sammy Castellanos there when you were there?
Sammy, the assistant coach or the academy coach? He was around, but I think he's more involved with it now than he was when I was there. It was him.
Okay.
Ibra, Sagaya.
Yeah, Ibra.
Vadim is not there anymore. And I'm trying to think. Yeah, that was pretty much it.
To be fair, I know you said it's difficult for a lot of guys to go up from the Red Bull second team, but they've had such a number of guys to do it. And actually, if you look at probably across the league, they may have had the most, you know, and I think they do a really good job at integrating their second team with their first team. I know Jesse Marsh, when I was there, he was huge on, if you're going to perform well with the second team, you're going to be rewarded with the first team contract. And I think it showed with multiple guys from our team. I mean, Aaron Long, Tyler Adams, those are just guys that blew up and went obviously to play with the full national team. So that's pretty extraordinary. But even smaller guys like Florian Velo, Vince Bezicourt, I don't know, I'm missing a lot, you know what I mean? Yourself, Barlow, and there's a few guys, Brian White, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
I mean, there's a few.
They do feel that
done
out.
Well.
Yeah, and Wally does a good job coaching.
Yeah, and they play, like, obviously the same exact style. So, you know, when they do get put on the first team in practices and training session, the level doesn't drop. And so, yeah, they do it right for sure with the second team.
Yeah. What was your first start in the MLS or first minutes? Do you remember?
It was all during COVID. My first minutes was against Atlanta in the MLS's back tournament, which is just like, we were up a goal. And,
that's unique.
Armin put me on at right back. I was like, no, I don't even know. I never played right back before, but whatever. I'm fine.
they have a history of converting wingers to right backs, I will say.
Yeah. And then my first start was like a derby against NYCFC that we won, but there was no fans, so it was like pretty anticlimactic. But
what a surreal first year. I mean, you obviously had years as a professional prior to that, but to come into MLS to finally make it there and then have to go through 2020, that was absolutely brutal, because that's how I would have been.
Yeah, it was weird. And then, I mean, with all the MLSPA stuff too, being like, actually we might not be getting paid because of COVID, it was just like, what?
Yeah.
But all the way here and then. But I mean, at the same time, I don't know, we had players go home, like Josh Sims and stuff, like they just left, never came back, and like I got to play a lot of minutes. So
yeah,
at the same time, it was like, yeah, it was not good, but maybe it was fortunate for me in some ways.
Yeah.
For sure. Why did they leave?
When you get drafted by Red Bull. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Gordo.
What, did they just choose to leave because the pandemic, the whole thing, or did they get sent home?
Well, Sims was on loan, so he was just like, I'm not coming back. He didn't really want to be here anyways, but I mean, he was like a young DP, so it was always going to be tough for me to take a spot.
Yeah.
But he just like, I don't know, he was just like, I'm not coming back. So they were like, all right. And then,
all right.
Sure enough, I got to.
I win.
Adios.
Yeah.
I'll play.
Yeah.
Anybody here? Yep, I am. I'm still here. Yeah. So when you get drafted by Red Bull, are you looking at it like you're excited, or you're like, oh man, they're gonna put me in Red Bull too and I'll have to work my way up? Like, how did you approach it? Which way did you look at it?
No, I was excited. I mean, I had one more semester of college to finish up, so I finished that online. But I was excited because, I mean, it's always good to go to a spot that has a USL team. And the pathway to the first team, especially coming from a smaller school, wasn't like, you know, my expectations was that I was going to get a first team deal immediately.
Yeah.
And I knew Wally and stuff from PDL, so I knew it was a good environment. It was close to home. Like, basically could live at home for my first year of USL, stuff like that. So it was fine.
Were there any other teams that were interested? Do you know of that? You know of?
Yeah, they were, but I don't know. They all passed up, which was kind of crazy to me because, like, with Colgate, we made the Sweet 16, which is, like, we never won an NCAA game before. And, like, I had the third most assists in the country or whatever, the NCAA. But every team was just like, yeah, maybe. And then we'll take you fourth round. So, whatever, man. It all worked out. But
yeah.
It wasn't a high pick.
Hey, I'll tell you what, hold on to that chip on your shoulder because it'll serve you well. Trust me, I was drafted in like the 148th round. So it's
Mr. Irrelevant.
It's a good thing.
Mr.
It's
Irrelevant.
A good thing to continue to prove people wrong. It'll be a good spot for you. So you get in with the first team. Who outside of Wallenek would you say would you characterize as helping you the most in that transition? Because you're coming from a small school, you're not necessarily expecting first team minutes, but there's a lot of work there that has to go into that. Who would you point to in that organization?
Probably Preston Burpo. He's the goalie coach. Southpaw knows him. And he's here in Austin as well. I mean, he was always great, like, in terms of just, like, coaching USL guys, getting USL guys up. And then, obviously, Armis and Carnell. It was always, like, a tough situation with Chris because whatever, what happened last year. But Carnell definitely gave me a lot of minutes and I probably owe a lot to him as well. And he's still there. He's a he's great. I mean, Chris gave me my opportunity as well. So I would say Chris. Brad and Preston for sure.
Have you guys heard of this meat subscription service, Moink? The best bacon, the best steak, the best chicken, and the best salmon you'll ever eat won't come from the grocery store. You'll only find it on the family farm caught by independent Alaskan fishermen. That's why you need MoinkBox.com. Join the Moink movement today and go to MoinkBox.com/believe right now. And listeners to this show get free bacon for a year with every box ordered. That's 1 year best bacon you'll ever taste for a limited time. Spelled MoinkBox.com/believe. That's MoinkBox.com/believe. Check it out, guys.
What a Burpo's got a lot of history in this crew right here. Let me hear your opinion on Preston.
He's a legend, man. He's a great dude. He's obsessed with set pieces. You should see this guy. He must take like he must take like five coffees in the morning before the set piece meeting. he's funny. I love his energy, man. He's a good dude. Why? What do you guys think?
No, Preston, one of my all-time favorites. Bro, you played with him, right?
I did. He was with Chivas across the hall, but I know him well, and he's always been a good dude.
Yeah. He's one of the figures around this league that I don't know how many people would really ever have a bad word to say about him. He's an icon, and he was around for what felt like forever. And I'm I don't even sure. think it felt like he like came into the league, which is so inaccurate, but it felt like his first year in the league, he was like 38. It's probably wrong, but it, 20 it years. Felt like it.
I had a few late nights with Preston.
Oh my God, what a guy. So how'd you get to Austin? How did that happen?
I mean, Red Bull was going through a big transition with Struber taking over, and he basically took over for the playoff game, and I got benched for the playoff game, which I was pretty upset about, but whatever. Whatever, things didn't go great. And then I didn't know if they had me in their plans, but then at the end of the season, they were like, all right, we're going to keep you, you know, we'll see what happens. And then, you know, they didn't protect me in the expansion draft, which I was like, well, that's probably a problem. And then, I don't know, Claudia just called me and was like, what do you think about Austin? And then I knew when I knew Burpo was going down here, I was interested. And yeah, I mean, I think it was just time for a change up because there was so much management change with Red Bull. And I don't know when, yeah, Claudia was just, they basically made the decision, but I was definitely interested for sure.
So you got some close ties to that front office. I mean, Claudio obviously watched you up close and personal in all the derby matches. And then you also have Burpo that knew you pretty intimately, right? I'm assuming you chatted with Claudio about that in the transition.
Yeah, for sure. So Claudio's son, Gio, and my younger brother, Pete, played on the youth national team and stuff together. Okay. So, like, I kind of knew of him, but I didn't really know him. But, yeah, I had known that what he had done at NYCFC and heard good things mm-hmm. about him. So, I mean, yeah, when him and Burpo came down here, and then I didn't know Josh, but I've heard good things about Josh. It was just, like, it was definitely an enticing option. You know, even leaving my home and stuff, but I think it was time to probably leave Red Bull either way. So, but I mean, I have no bad blood for Red Bull. I think it's a good organization. They want to get young players in, and whatever. I'm 24, so that's old to them.
Yeah.
You're over the hill now, dude.
I know. Come to Austin. I'm the youngest guy in the boxes and stuff. Go to at Red Bull. I'm older Sky, but yeah, I mean, they're going old in style, which is good, and they're doing well. So
from the outside, though, like what a cool team to go to, right? In the expansion year, Austin with that stadium, you know, I follow them on social media, and we've seen Matthew McConaughey kind of talk to you guys a few times. Tell us what that's like. Like, you know, some of his speeches I'd like to hear.
He's awesome. Yeah, he's unique. He's funny, man. He's good at inspiring us, and he comes in and I don't know, he came in that one day for training and just Yeah, he gives great motivational speeches, and you can just tell he's got a lot of energy. And I don't know if you guys saw the Instagram with him and the drums. I'm just sitting in the locker room like, what is going on, man?
But he's doing like the
smacking these drums in this green suit. Like, yeah, he's amazing, and he knows the culture of Austin, and yeah, he always tells us to keep it weird and stuff. So he's great. He's a great owner.
How often is he around?
He's only been to the facility once, and then he came to the home opener. Okay. So I think he had something with his mom and COVID or something, but whatever. Yeah, he's been around now, which is it's been nice. So yeah.
Did you read his book?
Yeah, I read his book, Green Lights. Yeah,
Green Lights, pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't read it, but I've heard so many of my friends have and say it's great. So I need to get on it.
Yeah, it's worth a read. It's worth a read for sure.
Gordo, you can get it on tape and play it in your car.
Audiobook.
I did. Yeah, thanks. When I say I read a book, that's what I mean.
Audible.
What's with the tree? Where'd that come? Are there a lot of trees in Austin? What's the story with the crest and the tree?
Oh, I think, you asked the wrong person. But I know that the 11 dots are for the 11 players. I think, I don't want to say anything wrong, but I'm pretty sure it's the oak tree. And there's like four branches on it as well, I'm pretty sure. And that's for like the four districts of Austin.
You're coming through.
Don't want to question me too much about it. But we have some outside our facility and stuff, and I don't know. I think it's just
and obviously green verde. Like what's the? It's just trees. So trees are green. That's it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's cool. Just, all right.
Green. There's not a ton of green in Texas.
Yeah, I was like, okay, California is pretty green.
They're known for their verde sauce.
So you get into Austin, like who's making an impact right away? Like, what are your first couple of days like? Were you in preseason? What did you get down there early? What's that transition look like?
I mean, yeah, they wanted to get down here as early as possible, just because we're an expansion team, and they wanted to just whatever create some chemistry and stuff. So I mean, most of us were down here like early January, just hanging out and training, and we had to do that 10-day quarantine period, which is whatever. And we had to train alone, but some of us would just kind of go to the field at the same time, try and get some chemistry going. Yeah. And then guys just kind of sporadically showed up. And then, whatever. We started just training and whatever, doing with all the COVID protocols. But I think it was really nice for most of us just to get down here, get acclimated, find out more about the city and travel around a bit. So it was fun.
It's a pretty big difference going from like an established setup in Red Bull and with the pipeline and the academy and USL and all that, and then going to an expansion franchise, right? And for a young player, it's not like you've been around forever. You're a couple years into this league. How different has the experience been in Austin? And what, do you point to things like that you like better in a young club?
Yeah, I mean, the styles are a lot different, and it was different going from Red Bull's high press, aggressive style with a lot of young guys. And I think the biggest thing is just, the way we play is obviously a lot different. You see with Austin, I think the similarity is that both teams are really organized. Like, Josh is amazing, Claudia is amazing. Like, for an expansion team, it's surprising how organized we are with the way we play and the way we do things, which is really nice. And Red Bull's the same way. They're organized. They have a structure. They have a way they play. I just think it's just a bit of a different style. But, I mean, there is pressing involved and stuff with Austin. But, the playing out of the back stuff has been really nice for me. An attacker to be able to kind of catch my breath and know that, like, our goalie's playing through, splitting lines to the six. It gives me an extra second to rest and then be able to make runs behind and stuff, where Red Bull, it's just kind of the game's so transition oriented and it's just kind of going to goal and there's just a lot of running and stuff, where I'm here, like, as I get older and stuff, this is somewhere probably that's better for my career in general. But Red Bull to start, amazing. Like, created a bunch of chances there. It's an aggressive forward style playing place, but overall, I don't know. They're both organized, just different.
How involved is Claudio? How involved is he in the technical side of things?
Yeah, he's really involved. And I mean, yeah, I think him and Josh have a great relationship and he's close with the coaches. I think, you know, I think he's a big fan of the style and he's wants to play this way as well. And I think he's recruited players that fit Josh's style really well. And I mean, it's just a matter of continuing to build what we have here. And I think, you know, by the end of the season, we'll be hitting strides. You know, we've had some tough injuries, like not having a striker the last 4 or 5 games is just like, mm-hmm. you know, it's kind of plagued us a bit in that sense. And that's just kind of unlucky.
Yeah, I mean, you guys are still grinding out results without a striker too, which is yeah. pretty impressive.
Yeah, yeah, grinding them out. And if we start getting some wins here, you know, we'll be right back in playoff contention and stuff. So, but yeah, they're all super involved and everyone knows it. And I'm sure, like, you know, our roster will look, you know, a bit different towards the end of the year as well. So I'm sure he'll have some additions and stuff given the injuries we've had.
Any moments that kind of stuck out at you when you guys opened the new stadium?
Yeah, I think my head was lost for the first 5 minutes. Just what is going on? But I mean, it was just so loud for 20,000. The fans are great here, man. They're happy. Happiest fan group I feel like I've been a part of. And they're loud and they just seem to be having a blast. Anytime we get close to the goal, it's just everyone stands up. It's just,
they're definitely happier than Red Bull fans, I'll tell you that much. Because Red Bull fans, if you did anything in a game, they're just on you on Twitter, on any platform, just crushing you. Yeah, whereas Austin, they're probably just like so nice to you if you make a mistake. I don't know. I'm just assuming that, but... yeah, anything's up from Red Bull.
Sal, is there something you want to talk about?
I've talked about it before on the podcast, but it's funny. Yeah, no.
What's an Austin FC fan like? Give me a profile, Jared.
Just happy, nice.
Sounds amazing.
Unique. Maybe a couple tattoos around. You know, just happy guys, happy girls.
All right.
Happy people, man.
I feel like it's similar to like maybe Portland a little bit.
Yeah, I think so. I think it
yeah.
gives them vibe.
Are they color tattoos or black and white? I mean, what are we dealing with?
I don't know. A little bit of both, Gordon.
They have the crest. They got the green crest, but I think
that's it. They got color.
One color.
I guess that. Yeah, one color. But no, they're great. They're super nice.
Oh man, when's McConaughey getting the entire team the green suit? Is that a travel attire?
That would be sick, man. I don't know. I'll ask him that next time. See if he buys in.
All right,
I'll probably do it. All right.
So before we jump into pleads, I want to hear from you as now a vet of this league. What's the expectation? What are your goals? What are your this year in Austin?
My personal goals. I mean, I want to score 6 goals, get 6 assists in terms of numbers. Okay. And yeah, I mean, the most important thing is that we make playoffs. So whatever personal goals kind of go out the window in terms of that, as long as we make playoffs, like I'll be happy and I want to be on a winning team for sure. But as long as we make playoffs, then we know we'll have a chance, especially being an expansion team. But so that's obviously the biggest goal. But yeah, personally want to score a lot of goals, want to get a lot of assists. Yeah, I've had a lot of good shots and stuff this year. Hopefully, with these home games, it starts kind of flowing a little bit easier. But, you know, playing on the road is just – it's ugly.
Yeah.
I have a kind of an open question to everybody because a few guys on my team have brought this up. Do you feel like MLS and maybe American sports in general is we're the only, like, league in the world probably that every team going into that year has internal goals thinking that they can win MLS Cup? Whereas maybe in England, like some of these middle of the road teams, like their goal is not to win the league, right? Whereas I feel like even a team like Chicago Fire coming in this year was like, we can do it, guys. MLS Cup or bust. Like, I don't know. I don't know how you guys feel about that. But I will say on every MLS team I've been on, good or bad, the goal is always like, guys, we're going for it all this year. And I just feel like in other leagues, like in England, like you wouldn't hear like, I don't know, Brentford next year being like, guys, we're going to win the Premier League. You know what I mean?
Is that because American players are emotional? Because how many players on the Chicago Fire should have said they were going to win MLS Cup this year?
Maybe it's like playoff format. Maybe it's a bit of that mentality. Like everybody has a chance once they get in the playoffs. But Yeah. I don't know. It's interesting mentality for sure.
Yeah, I think the salary cap is good too. Like the fact you can trade for players and get DPs in the middle of the year. Like you can be kind of crap, but then you get two DPs or a DP and a striker, and then you're better.
So. Money is less of a disparity in the MLS than it is obviously in the Premier League or whatnot. But it's just funny.
I think your point about the playoffs though is spot on.
Because
there are so many teams that are trash for months on end, and then you catch the right wave and you're in the playoffs and you have a legit shot because nobody wants to play the hot team, especially with the way the schedule works out, because there's breaks and you get hot teams. There's different streaks in the playoffs too.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting for sure.
All right, Jared. All right. Well, you passed the majority of the test, but now you're going to get hit with the difficult questions here. So what we do here is we call plead the fifth. Bordeaux is going to ask you a series of questions. And if you answer all five, you get to ask us any question we have to answer honestly and truthfully. You can plead the fifth on one of the five questions. You follow the rules?
Wait, so... if I get all five questions right, I can ask you a question?
Yeah. You can also say, I'm not going to answer one of them. And you can do that. You can only do that for one of the fun of them. So.
All right.
All right. Are you ready? We took it easy on you, Jared. I don't like these. I don't like how easy these are. Because I've been getting hammered on the back question. All right. So, all right, better shit talker, Alex Ring with NYCFC or Alex Ring with Austin FC?
Probably Alex Ring with NYCFC because he was a rival. He wasn't fun to play against.
I hated that guy.
there's a few guys on NYCFC that I hate.
Yeah, he got under my skin.
Did you ever play against Tinnerholm, Gordo? God, that dude would get under. I don't even think I played against him, but he just bugged me. Fans know that of the pod, that and we talk about it all the time. His name would pop up once every episode, and so that's why I'm bringing it up.
How is he as a teammate?
He's a great teammate, I would not want to play against him. You don't want to play against him in training either, but on your team, he's amazing. But not someone you want to play against. I remember playing against him being like, ew, what? Who is this guy? But then when he's on your team, you're like, all right, I understand.
I get it. I'll take him.
Yeah. Those are the players you want to have, though. I mean, those are the players you want to have.
That was like half of San Jose's roster when you were there, Gordo.
God, I hate these guys.
Jared, I think
can we take 7 out of the 11 here?
I think Jared was in kindergarten when that was going on. All right. Okay. So you're drafting a five-a-side team and you have the first three picks, but you got to pick from your technical staff. Okay. So who you taking? Wolf, Arnaud, Reyna, Burpo.
Wait, three out of the four?
Who are you leaving out?
Leaving out?
Yeah. Who are you taking first? First three picks.
Out of those four?
Wolf, Arnaud, Reyna, or Burpo?
Probably Wolf.
Wolf, number one.
You think he can still play?
Yeah, probably Wolf because he's still got it. Him and Arnaud. I mean, I haven't seen Claudio play, but him and Arnaud have it. I mean, Preston, unfortunately. he would have to play.
Do they get out and play?
Yeah, they get out and play. They get out and run around sometimes. They still got it, man. But... tight hammies.
Yeah.
That's smart. Pick your head coach in case he listens.
Yeah, just in case.
I should save Claudio.
You should have went Claudio, that's for sure. He's the only one that can trade. All right. Would Fagundes let you shave his beard?
Yeah, I think so. I mean,
no chance.
Are you guys tight?
Yeah, we're good friends. I think he would. If I asked him to, I think he would.
Are you a fan of it?
Yeah. I think like,
you are.
I think at this point, like, I can't see Diego without that, you know? But yeah, I'd love to shave it. Would he let me? Maybe not, but
He'd probably look 14 again from when he used to play against us.
Yeah, it seems like this guy's been in the league for like 20 years, man.
I think he has.
He entered the league the same year that Preston Burpo did.
And he's still 20, and he's still like 26.
26.
Is he only 26?
No, he's, what is he, 28? 26. Is he? No way.
26. He's been in the league for 43 crazy. Years, and he's 26
he
years
didn't
old.
Didn't he sign at 14? I think he signed at 14, so he's been in the league 12 years, yeah. And he's still 26. It's crazy.
He's got 11 kids, 26 yeah, years old. He's had four jobs at the same time.
This guy's got like three dogs. Chicken.
And then chicken. Yeah, he's probably picked up a couple of chicks in Texas, huh?
Yeah.
All right, let's move on. Let's move on. Like I said, these are easy questions. Rank these celebrity MLS owners worst to first. McConaughey, your boy. Will Ferrell. Kevin Durant, Bex, Drew Carey.
Probably Drew Carey is the worst.
I'm so glad you said that.
I'd want to get Durant up there and Bex. Well, McConaughey would obviously be the best. Who's the fourth that I'm missing?
Will Ferrell, Kevin Durant,
Will
Bex.
Will Ferrell's down there. He's LAFC, so.
Yeah, so Drew Carey's worst. Yeah. Will Ferrell's fourth.
Then
McConaughey's first.
And probably, I'd probably go Beckham, Durant, McConaughey first, yeah.
I mean, there you go. All right. Well done. All right, last one. Last but not least. Most hated NYCFC player. I mean, who's the guy that – we told you who we hated. We hated Ring. Who do you hate? Let's start a rivalry, dude. This is how you get a big name in the MLS. You talk shit.
I mean, it'd probably have to be Medina because he dives a lot and he's just not a player I like playing against. I mean, he's one of those guys you come back into a tackle with and before you even got there, he's about 2 feet in the air. But I mean, he's a good player, but
he's a flopper.
Damn, he's annoying to play. What's up?
Yeah. That's a good answer.
That's a good vibe.
All right, He's passed the I wouldn't call it the ring of death because that was like a pillow fight.
The pillow fight of death.
It was. So you can ask any one of us anything, and we'll.
You can also ask like a general question that we'll all answer.
We'll shuffle.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just want to know if anyone's got any good Burpo stories that are PG, but not no problem.
I don't know if I know of any personal ones.
Does Preston still have? Does he still have a muzzy?
What do you mean? Is Subaru? Oh,
a mustache. No, does he still have a mustache?
Is Subaru?
Yeah, he. I think he got rid of the mustache recently, but he had it at Rebel. But he rocked it for sure.
I know. He loved talking to my wife because they're both vegan, so he was all about it.
Is that why he loved talking to your wife?
Yeah.
No, we're just talking about.
Oh yeah,
vegan,
I'm just talking
now.
On the phone.
Oh, it's just Preston again, baby. It's 11:30 at night. Yeah. We're just vegan recipes.
Always, yeah. We have a great substitute for cheese.
No, Burpo's a man. Burpo's a man.
I can't think of any, to be honest.
He was always a coach for me. So I mean, there wasn't. I didn't have that relationship as a player. I know Gordo said he went out with a few nights with him, so maybe he's got some. I don't know.
I remember hearing stories about him always having like his personal bathrobe in the locker room and would always wear it around. That's either him or who is that other crazy
John Conway.
John Conway did that. But I think they're both
both lunatic goalkeepers and
they are absolutely.
What goalkeepers aren't lunatics? Come on.
Yeah.
Name me a normal goalkeeper.
The bad ones are normal.
Yeah.
There's always a cool backup goalie. You're like, dude, you're not really a goalie.
I actually like spending time with you. You can't be a starter. No chance.
Exactly.
I met the first time I met Burpo, I walked in to who he was. I thought he was like, I don't know, just a janitor or something, or a member of a staff. And I was like, who is this guy? And then he got undressed, and I was like, holy Christmas, this guy is absolutely shredded. Like one of the most shredded human beings I think I've ever seen. Absolutely jacked. And then he turns around. He's like, what are you looking at, Garks? And I was like, and I had nothing. And he just walked into the shower. That's a good first impression. Preston, what's up, man? How are you?
He would always rep Southern New Hampshire University that he went there, because no one knew what it was until it became a partner with the MLS. And he'd be like, actually, I actually played soccer there. We're like, what? Yeah.
No way.
That's where he went to college.
That's awesome. Yeah.
Burpo. That's Burpo in a nutshell.
Tell him I say hello when you see him, Jared.
I will.
Yeah, please. Yeah,
he's a gym rat for sure. He was ripped.
Please. All right, Jared. Well, listen, man, yeah. you passed the pillow fight, and we appreciate you being on the pod, dude. Best of luck down there in Austin. It looks like a ton of fun. I think all three of us are definitely jealous of the environment and atmosphere you get. You appreciate day in and day out. So make those fans proud. Get them in the playoffs. All right.
I will. Thank you guys.
Good luck, Jared. Take care, man.
Good luck, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
Gordo, you weren't a big fan of the pillow fight that we presented to Mr. Stroud here, shot with the five questions. Is there anything else that you would have asked that you didn't get a chance to, that you really wanted an answer for?
Yeah, like I would have asked him a tough question. I mean, why are we taking it so easy on these kids? I mean, I agree. He's the nicest kid in the world, it seems like, and I instantly love him. But, you know, we should have made him sweat a little bit. We let him get away. This can't be the standard that we're setting.
Well, you know, there are podcasts and blame, but you could also take a little bit of ownership and ask any number of questions that may have floated through your brain at the moment.
Listen, I was just, you know, I'm just getting to know the guy. You know, I'm the type of person that needs to have a few conversations.
You're the bad guy. You are the bad guy.
I'm always the bad guy.
That's right.
We didn't even ask him if we forgot to ask him if who he would rather be teammates with, me or you.
He's an East Coast guy. We know the answer.
Yeah.
I think we just put it on the tally board for me, because I don't even think we need to follow up with that one.
Yeah. Stroud's a kid that I would have eaten up in the in the locker room. He would have had no shot with me.
Oh, man. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening once again. I will say we all live busy lives and we're trying to do this as often as we can. I just obviously had a kid. Gordon's out here slinging loans and Dan's running a whole club over there in St. Louis. So hope you guys enjoy it. Again, we're trying to get one out every week. I know that may not be the case, but thanks for listening as always.
We'll see you soon.
Yes, hopefully soon-ish. Very soon, yes, but we're not going anywhere, so thanks guys, appreciate it.
Is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.